When you've got a tzuras haPesach, says the Mekor Chaim, you've got a string, and underneath you've got a Rishus Yochid. It breaks the tzuras haPesach. In other words, imagine you've got a tzuras haPesach which goes over a house. So the house on top breaks the tzuras haPesach on top. That's a house, so that they're very aware of it and they're trying to avoid that. But if you've got, it doesn't have to be a house, but if you've got a skip on the tzuras haPesach, can easily happen. You've got a skip on the tzuras haPesach. A skip is definitely Rishus Yochid, right? Got the domain. So you've got a skip on the tzuras haPesach. You've killed that tzuras haPesach, and thereby you've killed He said even more than that when I asked him, we can't be machman. Mekor Chaim, he says, yeah, of course, because even if you've got a car parked, you've got a car parked on the tzuras haPesach, so said Rabbi Liebman, according to Mekor Chaim, you haven't got a tzuras haPesach. He said, there's no way you can deal with it. You can't deal with the Mekor Chaim. Therefore, we don't pass like the Mekor Chaim. You're relying on not passing that. If you, yet, any citywide Eruv is relying on the Cholkim on the Mekor Chaim. It's a Chumrah. But if you do want to go with the Mekor Chaim, which is Mishnevot Dos Krotim, and you know it is a. If you do go with the Mekor Chaim, then you've got a problem. I mean, I think Naftali was part of the list because when we learned the Mekor Chaim inside, then we hit us as being a problem with an Eruv. So it is a problem. But it's true to say that it's an accepted that to be making against it. But if you're asking me for a reason why people are machmir, this would be a third reason. Finally, I think there's at least three. One is just Rabban Dereisa, one is the practical challenges. At times the wall is down, at times it's also Pesach down. Finally, I think the Mekor Chaim. There's other reasons as well. I think on the whole these are. Yeah, and then of course, Avil Yashiv, of course, said that that's what we're discussing at the moment. Schiris. I mean, that's something which Avil Yashiv held, that the greatest challenge of an Eruv is the Schiris aspect. Why? Because if it's halacha that any goy in the Eruv needs to be part of the we can't. So how do we deal with goyim? Schiris, you rent it out of them, but one second, how do we do that? We do it nowadays, we do it through the... The police and the representative of the queen. Fine, okay, but you can hear why people aren't particularly excited about it. Does the queen own your place? I mean, imagine the queen would be knocking on your door.
Come inside.
Okay. Would you invite the queen into your house? Yeah, perhaps, yeah. Would you say, oh, please, this is all yours, you know? Come and say, this is your house. I don't know. I'm paying the mortgage, not her, kind of. So I think that so schiris is an issue. So, although your point was, I think, is an excellent point about the gas. He did say that he likes the idea very much of paying the gas authority, the electric authority. But the Maestri it's not done. The Maestri, we rely on the police and rely on the Queen, and you can really hear why this is a bit of a questionable. You can hear why Yashiv says that this is just, It's a cooler. So this would be a fourth reason why a person doesn't carry in the Eruv. Yeah, I think these are four potentially valid points. He claimed that, as you heard yesterday, he claimed that the reason why the success of the Eruv is because in the letter. He writes that there's room to be machmir. So if somebody says that Eruv is like absolutely, there's no reason to be machmir, then he says that's not. If you're saying that Eruv, when you're machshir the Eruv, you say that there's room to be machmir, he says that's the reason why he feels that the success of the Eruv. Yeah. He says he's relied himself on the Eruv, obviously carries as well, but it's there is room for stringency. Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise people get that usually the wrong city.
He would not carry. Yeah.
Otherwise everyone gets the impression that where the world can carry.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I must say, there is such a concept, and I remember that I was learning, did I mention this once? I was learning once, Mishnayos, when I was a bocher in Yerushalayim, in Mir, a very, very famous, prominent Talmid Chochem, who very well known in Yerushalayim and beyond. I don't know why he asked me, but he had a son, like a not bar mitzvah, was 10, 12 years old. I was learning Mishnayos with him every day. I don't know if I mentioned this story once. And I learned, I was privileged to learn with him. I mean, I was a bocha, 18, 20 years old. And I was learning Mishnayos with this boy every day, a little bit of Mishnayos. This was, I tell you that his father of that boy is a very prominent Talmid Chacham. And I was learning Mishnayos. And we ended up learning Mishnayos Eiruvin. Actually, it was in Shabbos. And we learned about, in Shabbos. And then we learn Mishnah Shabbos. And then we get to Melacha Vayitzar. Melacha Vayitzar of carrying. He had no idea. He said, obviously, all the Melachas he was very familiar with. Obviously, we're talking about a 10, 12-year-old boy. He obviously knew about it. When we hit carrying on Shabbos, Melachas of Vayitzar carrying, he didn't know what I was talking about. I said, carrying? On Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry? I said, yes, you're not allowed to carry. He laughed. He literally laughed. He said, what do you mean carry? You can't carry? He said, no, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. He didn't know what I was talking about. In the house, he asked me, in the house? He's in the house. He didn't know, he wasn't familiar with the concept of carrying. So we explained to him, and I'm sure by now he's... But it just showed me, taught me something. He taught me that perhaps from the educational chinuch perspective, there might be reason at times to be machmeh at times, just for them to know that. I don't know. What do you think? Yeah, I think that... So that's because we brought up and born and brought up in Yerushalayim. So that's that. But I do think that it's quite what I do sense is the what I felt yesterday yet again, and I felt that last time as well, that the seriousness and the seriousness of the approach of the Eov, the way he, I suppose him, it comes all from him, but I suppose the seriousness, the approach of the Yerushalayim really of the care and the looking after the Eov on an unbelievable level. I think that's pride. It's the pride of the Eov, yes. And but at the same time, the seriousness and the, if you know somebody takes a chas like this of the Eov, in a good place. It's not everywhere like this. It's not everywhere like this. He himself, he goes around a few times a year to check the Eov himself personally, and he shows a tremendous level of, I do think that it was quite interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I do want to start just a little bit of Sifyut Ches, just a little bit up to page 504. Sifyut Ches, Nalochis, any Yehudi, Shiz Kepas, Lechaver, and Yehudi. If you've got a goy that rented a place from his Chaver, and from his Goyisha friend, any Yehudi, Shiz Kepas, Lechaver, and Yehudi. If you've got a goy that rented out his house to another goy. To a goy, and this is a chotzer. There's many yidden living, but there's one goy living in this chotzer. So imagine a block of flats, and there's one goy living there, and that goy is a tenant because the landlord really is another goy. So who do you go? Do you go to the landlord or do you go to the tenant? Both are goyim. You need to do the schiris. Do you do the renting? Do you do the schiris from the landlord or from the tenant? Who do you go to? Both are goyim. Who do you go to? Landlord. So he says, "If he retains some tfisa, meaning that the landlord retains, for instance, a property are still his. It's a property, it rented property with furniture. It's, he retains some rights, some possessions, some acquisitions in the property remains his. That's called tfisa. If the landlord has still a tfisa in the house, sheyesh lo yirshus laniach shom." Shum Kelim, that he retains still the authority, the rights to keep some Kelim, some furniture, some items in his property, in his flat, if he still retains those rights. You can go to the landlord and say, here is the £5 you rent out the property to us. If he still retains some rights, and it's let out, but it still has some rights, that he's got a tefillah on it. Furniture there, he's allowed still to keep things there. He's got a attic which he still keeps stuff there. If he still has got some access to the property, then he can rent out from the landlord. However, if he retains absolutely no rights in the rented property, and all he has is the monthly rent that he gets, but he doesn't have any rights or access to the property, then then it depends. It's as follows. If the masker, if the landlord can get rid, can remove the tenant, if the landlord, okay, it doesn't have tefisa, all right, but he still can tell the tenant, get out of here, and get out of here now, if he can't do that, and very literally kick him out whilst there is still a contract, then that means he still has got the absolute ownership of that place. You can therefore still go to the landlord and get his chiris from him. But if the landlord has got no tefisa, and similarly, no rights to remove the tenant when he wishes, then ein moil, you cannot go to the landlord, and you need to go to the tenant to obtain the schiris from him. So again, Rabbi Yisai, you've got a chotzer, you've got a goy living in the chotzer, and the goy is a tenant, and there's a goyish tenant and a goyish landlord. Who do you go to for your schiris? Do you go to the landlord, or do you go to the tenant? The answer is, it depends. If the landlord retains some access to the property, you can go to the landlord. If the landlord retains the right to get rid, remove, and remove the tenant at any time that he wishes, then again you can go to the landlord. Otherwise, if those two conditions are not fulfilled, you have to go to the tenant to get the schiras. If there's no tfisa and there's no siluk at any time, you have to go to the tenant. Again, if it's not a landlord, if there's another person that has some rights in your property, somebody has a cupboard there, and he keeps his stuff there, he may not be the landlord, it may be somebody else altogether, and then you can also go to him, he's also considered schir v'lekito, you can go to him to get the schirs from him. Alright, these are the halachas for this evening, I wish you... Yeah.
If the landlord lets the property out furnished, in other words...
Yes, it's called tefisa, you can go to the landlord.
But if he doesn't
get
it furnished,
then you go to the tenant. Rabbi Yisai, I would like to wish you a very good Yom Tov. Shabbos Shalom to a great Kabbalah Torah. Shabbos Shalom to receive the Torah mamash properly like in Har Sinai the other year. Very good. Okay, good evening, good Yom Tov.